Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So before we read from Srimad Bhagavatam this morning, I just wanted to read a little passage, as today is the appearance day of Sri Baladeva Jibusan? Disappearance, okay. And then for appearance of Sri Ganga Mata. So I'll just read something here. This is about Sri Baladeva Jibusan, who was a pure devotee of the highest order, who cared for nothing but the service of the Lord. He didn't have a spot of desire for name and fame. Wow, what a wonderful example. He was a pure devotee in the highest order, who cared for nothing but the service of the Lord. He didn't have a spot of desire for name and fame. He was the composer of many scriptures, which are taken as priceless, as precious gems, for the ultimate benefit of all those who have taken human birth. So Baladeva Jibusan was quite a selfless person who didn't have any material desires. As we're going to read in the Bhagavatam verse today, the difference between the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming to this planet, his advent, and then the material personalities or those with material consciousness, the difference between those two. So here, this is a spiritual personality who only cared for Krishna consciousness and who also spent so much of his time composing many scriptures. And as it says here, which are priceless as precious gems for the benefit, the ultimate benefit of all those who have taken human birth. The exact location of his birth, his names and his mother and father and family tree are not known. The exact circumstances of his birth and childhood are therefore unknown. Still, some are of the opinion that he took birth in a place called Baleshvara, a village neighboring Ramuna, in the early part of the 18th century AD, as the son of a Vaishya, an agriculturist. At an early age, he became learned in Sanskrit grammar, poetry, rhetoric, and logic. And after becoming expert in all these subjects, he began wandering to different places of pilgrimage. After wandering about in this way for some time, and after visiting many holy places, he happened to stay at a temple of the Tattvavadi, followers of Sri Madhvacharya. There he became fluent in his understanding of the Tattvavada Siddhanta, that is, the philosophical and theoretical conclusions of the followers of Madhva. After this, he took sannyas and preached the Tattvada Siddhanta very vigorously throughout the length and breadth of India. So that's a little passage about Sri Baladeva Jibusan. And now Sri Gangamata Goswamini. Within the present stage of Bengal lies what was once the kingdom of Sri Naresh Narayan. King Naresh Narayan had a daughter named Sachi. From early childhood, Sachi was a topmost devotee of the Lord. Within a short time, Sachi became, having become expert in these, I'll read that again. At first, she, excuse me, within a short time, Sachi began her education. At first, she absorbed herself in grammar and poetry. But having become expert in these, she gradually became completely immersed in endlessly studying the scriptures. Even as a young girl, she was always fascinated with Krishna consciousness. As Sachi came of age, all the young boys were charmed by her beauty. But within Sachi's mind, there was not the least attraction for any of the young men, no matter how handsome or rich they were. Her mind was always filled with thoughts of Madana Gopal. Sri Naresh Narayan began to think of arranging for his daughter's marriage. Upon understanding her father's intentions, Sachi told him, "I will not marry a mortal man born of this world of death." The king and queen wanted to make arrangements to give her hand in marriage, but Sachi did not want to wed. Always regretting their failure to arrange for their daughter's wedding in due course of time, the king and queen grew old and passed away. With the passing of the king and queen, the royal succession fell to Sachi. Sachi accepted the responsibility of governing the kingdom. One day, on the plea of seeing more of the kingdom, Sachi left to visit the holy places of pilgrimage after appointing some relatives to govern in her place. Although she wandered here and there, nowhere could her heart find satisfaction. She decided to seek out a bona fide spiritual master. After much travel, she arrived in Jagannath Puri. One day, after taking darshan of the Jagannath deities, she received the inner message and was inspired to go to Vrindavan. That's just a short little clip of her life. We could spend time reading more about the life of Sri Ganga Mata Goswamini. But I'll stop there. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text Number 39. Na te abhavasya bhavasya karanam vina vinodam bata tarkayam mahe bhava niroda stiti api avidya krita yata tvayi abhaya ashraya atmani na te bhavasyesha bhavasya karanam vina vino dam bata takaya mahe bhavo nirodas stitirapya vidyaya krita yatas tvaya bhaya shrayat mani na te bhavasyesha bhavasya karanam. Vina, vina, vino, dam, batatarka, yamahe. Bhavo, niro, das, titir, apya, vidyaya. Kritya, yatastraya, bayashayat, mani. Someone else, please. Ladies, please. Not te of your lordship, abhivasya, of whom there is no birth, death, or maintenance, as for an ordinary being. Isha, O Supreme Lord, bhavasya, of your appearance, your birth. Karanam, the cause. Vina, without. Vinodam, the pastimes. Despite what is said, you are not forced to come to this world by any cause. Bata, however. Tarkya mahe. We cannot argue, but must simply understand that these are your pastimes. Bhava, birth. Niroda, death. Stiti, maintenance. Api, also. Avidya, by the external illusory energy. Krita, done. Yata, because. Twayi, unto you. Abhaya ashraya, O fearless shelter of all. Atmani, of the ordinary living entity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this world, material world, as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mamavamsho Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanantana, the living entities are parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and thus they are qualitatively one with the Lord. We can understand that the Supreme Lord appears and disappears as an incarnation. There is no other cause than his pleasure potency. We cannot force the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. He says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yidai Yidai Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhutanama Dharmasya Tadatmanam Shudramyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. When there is a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Godhead can do it in many ways because he has multifarious energies. There is no need for him to come as an incarnation since he is not forced to do anything like ordinary human entities. The living entities come to this material world in the spirit of enjoyment, but because they want to enjoy without Krishna Bahir Mukha Haya Bhoja Vajja Kare, they suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. Janmam Richu Jiravyadi. They suffer birth, death, old age, and disease under the control of the illusory energy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. His descent is an act of his pleasure potency. We should always remember this distinction between the Lord and the ordinary living entity, and not uselessly argue that the Lord cannot come. There are philosophers who do not believe in the Lord's incarnation and who ask, why should the Supreme Lord come? But the answer is, why should he not come? Why should he be controlled by the desire of the living entity? The Lord is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, this verse says, Vina Vinodam Bhata Tarkaya Mahe. It is only for his pleasure that he comes, although he does not need to come. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma and karma phala by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the lotus feet, one is again situated in his original, liberated state. As stated here, Krita Yas Yatas Taya Abai Yash Shrayatmani, one who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless, because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should not give up the idea. Excuse me. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna, we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the reason we have become entangled, not only in our duty to seek shelter again at the lotus at the Lord's lotus feet. The shelter is described as abaya, or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we also are not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease, but we have become subject to these illusory problems because of the forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servants. Jivara Surupaya Krishnara Nichidas. Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always glorifying him, and always chanting about him, as described in text 37, Srinva Grinam Samsmarayams Cha Chittayam, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods, therefore, encourage Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the personality of Godhead who was already within her womb. Om Gyanatsamanandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshuramilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada starts the purport with a nice verse from Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastra indriyani prakriti stani karchati. So the living entities in this conditioned world, Krishna says, are my eternal fragmental parts. So we're all part and parcel of Krishna. We're all eternal servants. We're all eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, Satchinananda Vigraha. However, as Krishna says on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So Srila Prabhupada is writing some very extensive purports here later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam as a reminder that we should all remember that we are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we're eternal spirit souls, and that here in the material world this is temporary, full of birth, death, old age, and disease. We hear this a lot, but we can't hear it enough. We have to remember this, that this is this is the characteristics of living in this material world. Now, for those of us that are quite young, in our teens, preteens, I think you're a teen now. Teens, you know, our young 20s, you know, we don't necessarily feel the pains of the body. We don't feel the pains that in the material world because we're being taken care of by our parents. But as time goes on, as the body gets older, for those of us that are getting up in age, though the soul is eternal and it's blissful, and we see that when we're chanting or engaged in a really nice kirtan, we see that, you know, we become a little separated from the body where we may not feel those pains. And we feel the enjoyment and the bliss of chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in devotional service. But as soon as we forget that, you know, we start to feel the pains of the body, the neck or the knees or the arms. And, you know, as we go on in life, it becomes worse and worse and worse. And even if it doesn't, at some point, disease will strike. Old age will strike. And death will strike, and it will take it all away. So it's important to know that we are fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord eternally. And due to conditioned life, one will identify with this material body as being the self. One will identify with the mind as being the self, as being what the mind says is real, and to listen to the mind. And unless one is being Krishna conscious, unless one is engaged in the activities of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Lord, and then the other processes of devotional service, it's impossible for one to become transcendental to the material body. And one will spend all of their waking hours listening to the mind's demands, the action of anger, the dictates of the tongue and the belly and the genitals, work hard day and night to defend everything that they have worked so hard to acquire. But on the spiritual level, it's different, because we're acting according to our spiritual nature. Again, we've heard this so many times before, but it's really important to remember this, because we have the ticket. We've got the key to happiness. Sometimes the question is asked. I know when I would do book distribution or speak to people about Krishna consciousness, how can you be so sure that what you're experiencing is happiness, is real? One answer I would like to give to that is, if you're hungry, really hungry, and someone gives you something really good to eat, it was a really good meal, and now you're feeling nourished, your stomach is full, is there any possibility of you saying, well, I'm still hungry, I need more to eat, because I'm just really hungry? But you can taste it. You get direct perception of it. That's why this process is unique, because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. So the materialist, or the conditioned soul, has come to this world, this material world, which is only one quarter of the whole creation. Actually, the spiritual creation is three quarters. So again, we may appear to be in the minority, but actually, in the big scheme of things, in the big picture, there's three quarters spiritual creation. It's only one quarter material creation. So the conditioned soul has come to this material world out of forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna, on the other hand, comes for a different reason. As Srila Prabhupada speaks in this purport, Yadayi dai dharmasya glaniya bhaviti bharata When there's a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time he descends himself. So Krishna comes in so many different ways. Actually, Krishna is here, right here in his books. So one may not be able to see Krishna face to face, although we can see the forms of the Lord in many different ways, in paint, in sand, in stone, in marble. But this is actually Narayan here. So if you give a book to somebody, even if they don't read this book, but Krishna is actually within in that person's home, putting the book up on the shelf. The deity is actually in that person's home. So as I always like to put in my classes, take a moment, even if it's just to distribute one book to somebody. Don't let somebody pass you by that might have had an opportunity to get Krishna consciousness. As much as possible, wear devotional clothes. As much as possible, distribute books. As much as possible, tell someone about Krishna. Even if you go to the store and you say, "Have you heard of Krishna? Can you say Krishna?" I noticed, Neil, on Harinam, you're very fond of, you give someone a book and you say, "Can you say Krishna? Or can you repeat this after me?" You'll give them the mantra card. And here will be this whole family standing there chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And they may not know how it's affecting them. Just like if you have a sickness and you take an aspirin, or if you have jaundice, you're taking sugar candy. You don't know how it's working. Some might know, but in general, we don't know how it's working, but it works. I was telling someone the other day, they asked me how many years have I been chanting Hare Krishna. And so I told them how many years I've been chanting. Over 38 years chanting Hare Krishna. And the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. And I look back, 10 years, 20 years. Do this test. Look back at how many years you've been chanting. So let's say, okay, you've been chanting 5 years. For some of those that are younger in Krishna consciousness, 5 years. Think about how you felt 6 years ago, before you came in contact with the Hare Krishna mantra. Then think about how you felt even 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. How about those that have been chanting for 30 years? Look back 15 years ago. The things that used to disturb you, suddenly you notice that they don't disturb you as much, or they don't disturb you at all. Notice how your ability to be defensive minimizes. I remember I would be corrected about something and immediately I would be defensive. Oh no, that's not true. That's not how. And then I would go into this whole thing about, correcting this person. Meanwhile, it was for my benefit in Krishna consciousness. So I was really hurting myself. Now it's a little bit easier for me to not be defensive, although I still am defensive, but I'm noticing less and less. But not only being defensive, look at anything in your life. You had something, some prasadam, and somebody said, "Wow, that looks good." Are you just going to say, oh yeah, it's really good and I can't wait to get home to have it? Or are you going to take that and say, you know what? I want you to have it. I'm going to share it with you. So in the material world, the material consciousness is to try to exploit Krishna's resources and exploit people for your own sense gratification. In the spiritual world, the spiritual consciousness within Krishna consciousness, everything is for Krishna's pleasure. We're chanting here for Krishna's pleasure. We're cooking for Krishna's pleasure. We're preaching for Krishna's pleasure. We're treating each other nicely and helping each other. Helping to push each other forward for Krishna's pleasure. Srila Prabhupada once said, or maybe it was said more than once, that your love for me will be shown by how you are willing to cooperate after he leaves. So if you want to show love for Srila Prabhupada and ultimately for Krishna, let's cooperate, let's help each other, let's push each other forward. This is the way that devotees show love for one another. But from the material point of view, if someone says, you know, I love you, you know, I love, you know, this kind of food, I love, you know, that place, it's all, do they really love that person? Or are they just loving that person because they're getting something from them, something that's assisting them, the person, not... Okay, now I got to start separating who I'm talking about. You know, you've got person A and person B. So person A says, I really love this person. I love person B. But I only love this person B as much as, or person A loves person B, as much as they can get something materially from them. Otherwise, if they don't or they can't get any more from person B, then they don't love this person anymore. And they cut that person off. Or even in the material world, we hear, you know, people say they love a certain kind of food. But that particular kind of food was at one time a living entity. So if they really love that person, you know, would they be killing that particular entity to eat? So love in the material world and love in the spiritual world and spiritual consciousness is different. So there was some reading to be done, and then there was, you know, a long purport. So it kind of cut into the speaking of Bhagavatam today. But just try to focus in today on remembering and being grateful for what we have in Krishna consciousness. This is the spiritual world here. Srila Prabhupada has brought us the spiritual world. And this will give us the ability, to that extent that we are focused on that spiritual consciousness and being absorbed in the nine processes of devotional service, that's our happiness. We'll become happy. Ultimately, why? Because Krishna is happy. And when Krishna is happy with us, which he loves us, but he wants us to come back to him. So to that extent we engage in serving him, is that extent we're going to be happy. Whereas in the material world, to that extent that we engage in trying to satisfy ourselves, the more miserable one will become. So I'll just stop at that point. I'm not going to take any questions today. And I want to thank you very much for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class today. And I hope you all have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Jai Hare Krishna.
What's the list now? 59. So you're in a better way to get 64 up there.